Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you are listening to Do Go On, our little comedy podcast with me, Dave Warnocky. I'm here with Matt Stewart.
Dave, what's now it's a little comedy podcast, is it?
Well, I'm trying to be humble, Matt, since we've taken over the world, you know, number one album in the United Kingdom, all that kind of stuff, gold records. What am I talking about? I'm here with Jess Perkins. Hello, Golden Jess.
Oh, that's the best nickname I've had so far.
I know you've had a few shockers so far. Are you going well?
I'm going very well, thank you. How are you guys?
We are. Matt, are we good?
I'm pretty good,
yeah. I'm going to speak for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
He's told you off in the past for speaking on his behalf.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't do that ever again.
I will not do that again. I'll tell you what, who's going to be doing most of the speaking this episode? That is you, Jess Perkins, because we take it in turns to write a little report on this little comedy podcast about something that we find interesting and then try and regale the other two people and hopefully you, the listener, as well. And it is your turn, Jess, to talk the talk, walk the walk, squawk the squawk.
And I don't mean to
walk the book.
Pull back the curtain too much, but I feel a little underprepared this time. But everything's going to be A-okay.
So in comparison to your three previous reports, how are you feeling?
Look, this time, just kind of thinking, ooh, maybe could have spent a little more time on this. But it's fine. Everything will be fine. No, it's all about confidence. And it's going to be absolutely fine.
Chalk the chalk. There's another one.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, that's what he's been thinking about. I looked at him just before as I was talking. His face was blank, and I didn't know where he was, and he was just trying to think of other things.
You're trying to think of any word that rhymed with
dork the dork?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Technically, these are words that, rhyme with talk.
Did you say stalk the stork?
No, but we can add that.
That's one that actually works. You're like hunting one of them birds with the babies.
Thank you for that very specific comment there, Matt. A bird with a baby.
Are you back in? Are we all together now? Are we here?
Is there any birds?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there birds and babies in this report?
No. Well, in a way, kind of, I guess.
Ooh, is it about the band The Eagles?
It is. No, it's not.
Imagine if I guessed it by accident.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. All right, it's about the stork.
Well, we usually start with a little question to lead into the report.
Yes.
And you were feeling off air a bit dubious about your question, have you?
I just feel like it's going to be too obvious, so I'm just going to make it kind of a bit more broad. Right, so
Matt looks like he's still trying to think of words that rhyme. Yeah. Spork the spork, you know, spoon fork.
Oh, damn, I was so close to getting that one.
Cork the cork.
Oh, man.
He's good.
He is good.
Mohawk the mohawk. I'm getting a bit out there now. I won't play the game.
Damn it. No, please, but do go on. I do. And Matt, let's try and concentrate on the report rather than words that rhyme with walk.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, you can have one more over the next hour.
Okay. All right, great.
All right, okay.
I won't waste it, I promise.
Yeah, don't waste it.
Do try to pay a little bit of attention as well. Okay, so the question is, what would you say is the most popular or successful restaurant in the world?
Popular or successful restaurant? Well, clearly La Porchetta.
Obviously.
The Italian...
And wait, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about La Porchetta.
La, 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 la Porchetta. La, 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 la Porchetta.
Hey.
La, 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 la Porchetta.
Yeah.
La, 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 la Porchetta.
No, I think he's just having a stroke now.
Is that a... I can't remember.
That's their jingle. I don't know many of the words.
I'm not sure how national or international La Porchetta is, so it's like quite a family-friendly...
La Porchetta means... The Red Door. That's not.
No, it does not.
Know.
No.
It's quite a family friendly.
La Porchetta. It means the.
Family restaurant.
Porchetta.
Correct.
All right. I really don't want to waste it.
Okay, let's move on.
It's got to be. Is it a fast food place?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mickey D's?
It is Mickey D's.
Is it McDonald's?
We're talking about McDonald's.
Okay, well, great.
Right, because it's. It's one of those things where, I think we've said this in the past, it's one of those topics where you think you know a lot, but in actually looking at it, I didn't know much. Probably for the best, but...
Oh, really? It's one of these eye-opening reports?
No, not really. It's interesting in a way. From like a business point of view, it's quite impressive, but I don't want to praise them too much.
This show is all about business too, isn't
totally.
It? So we'll be very impressed.
This little comedy trivia business podcast of ours.
All right, yes, here's what I know. Junior Burgers, Big Macs.
Cheeseburgers.
Oh, he fucked it.
Oh,
I was trying
to
go through all the things I knew.
Oh,
sorry.
Now I don't know if I knew cheeseburgers or if I don't know. I don't know if that was my brain or...
I know. It's confusing.
Happy Meals.
Mm-hmm.
Slurpees.
Nope.
No.
They do the frozen Cokes, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not called a Slurpee, though.
Jackie Chan.
We're not talking about Jackie Chan.
Phoenix Suns.
All right.
Johnson and Friends.
I'm really worried about him.
I know. It's been quite hot the last week. Is it gone to your head?
Potatoes are used in the thick shakes. The fact that it's Australian beef is just a branding thing. Not really Australian, but these are the myth bits.
Okay.
okay,
good.
There's one in a train in Cheltenham.
There's one at what?
I think there's a train McDonald's somewhere.
What?
Maybe in Cheltenham?
I might have made that up.
Oh, have I made that up?
Oh, that would have made... Now I regret not looking up like weird places that McDonald's have been, but there are some weird ones.
Themed McDonald's.
Oh,
damn it.
Like in Richie Rich's house?
Yes. I mean, as a kid, you were like, oh, sick. Now, I definitely don't want this to be an ad for McDonald's. Right.
Because the food is shithouse.
It is. Like, it is. It's addictive shithouse, but it is.
In Australia, they've just debuted all-day breakfast, which is fantastic.
Oh, mama. Because I can have hash browns any time of the day.
All right, I'm going to have to balance you guys out because it feels like you're slipping into advertorial.
Yeah, so we won't be doing that.
We're not allowed to do on this podcast where we answer to literally fucking no one.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. I'm just making it very clear there will be no subliminal messages. Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac.
Who said that?
Who said what, Dave?
I'm hungry for a...
You want to get some? You want to get something to eat after the podcast?
Let's balance it out and talk about how good KFC tastes.
Yeah.
No, please, McDonald's. I don't really know.
I feel like
how long it's been around, but I know. Yeah, I would totally agree that it is the most, probably in my opinion, successful restaurant chain.
Mm. It's pretty popular.
Though I believe fact that there are more Subways in the world than McDonald's.
Oh,
I did not know that. Mm. Hey, Jess, can I ask you this question?
Of course you can, Matthew.
I think Dave might have written it for a trivia night. Has there ever been a conflict between two countries that have McDonald's stores?
So there's this rumor, I don't know if you came across this, that countries with, it's like a capitalism thing, countries with McDonald's have never been to war with each other. But it's not true.
That can't possibly be
true. The state
of
Georgia and Russia.
It's happened twice, according to Dave.
That's right. I can't remember the other example, to be honest.
What about the world wars?
I think currently, because they didn't at the time.
Oh, yeah, it's not retroactive. It's not like...
Oh, no, and I was also thinking that...
It's not because France and England fought in the Hundred Years' War, 1,000 years ago that it counts, yeah.
I was also thinking that McDonald's opened much earlier than it did. So
I was going to
ask. I know, that's a worry, and I'm the one who wrote thinking. The report.
Yeah. What else is going to be another thing that I hope that we discover is I don't know how long it's been around.
Well,
so please.
1932.
No. So there were these two brothers, and I've just realised I don't have their first names here for some reason. The McDonald's brothers.
Oh, so it is rooted in a family name.
Yeah, it really is. So in the late 20s, the two brothers moved to California where they opened their first hot dog stand.
It was pretty close.
Late 20s and 1932 was pretty close.
Pretty close. So late 20s. Well done. Oh, no, actually, do you know what? They opened their hot dog stand in 1937. So... Way not bad.
Off. Way off.
But a hot dog stand. Yeah. That's where it all began.
I assumed it was a burger stand.
And that's a product that I know a lot of McDonald's have different things worldwide, but I've never seen a hot dog.
No, I don't think I've seen a hot dog either. Hmm. So it was kind of one of those typical drive-in places of the era where like you parked your cars and the car hops. So like the waitresses on skates or just like, you know, waitresses would come to the car. It's kind of, but a hot dog stand.
I've never experienced that.
It's not around now, but well.
They're all on rollerblades.
I've had people approach me when I'm driving, but usually I wind the window up out of terror.
Say no thank you. This is sort of like a timeline. I've got a timeline firstly to sort of go through. And it starts a little, not slow, but just starts with like a basic, what you would think a business is going to do. But then there's some things that are a bit funny in there. So 1940 is when they opened their first barbecue restaurant, right? So it's just the two McDonald's brothers. They've opened their first barbecue restaurant.
So they've started hot dogs, they've moved to barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, they like close down their hot dog stand and they build a barbecue restaurant, but I think it was still also like a drive-in style.
Yeah, right.
So they had one of those. In 1948, they closed it for renovations, and when it reopens, the menu has 9 items. That's it.
And is that a cut down for them or an expansion?
No, it was reduced to 9 items. Oh, it's a cut down. So they've gone back to basics. They're keeping it simple.
I like it.
So do you want to have a guess at what the items would be?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
One. Big Mac.
No, not yet.
French fries?
Kind of. Potato chips, like potato crisps, basically.
Okay.
Like cold potato crisps.
Yeah.
Really?
A normal burger, no
like
cheese.
Like a hamburger, yeah.
A normal burger, yes, a hamburger.
So you're on 3.
3. Coke?
So there, it says soft drink. So okay. I think there was 2 or there must have been 3 like soft drink varieties.
Sunday.
No.
I feel like we're on Family Feud.
Any ice cream?
No. There is one dessert.
Is it a hot dog again? Still hot dog?
No.
Apple pie.
A slice of pie, yep.
Oh, there's 2 more to go. What else could you have? A chicken burger?
No. It's think Grimace. More beverages now.
Oh, thick shake.
No.
Water.
No.
No water.
Beer.
No.
Jesus' blood.
Yes.
Wine.
Oh,
all
right.
Something you might have in the morning.
Milk.
Milk and something else you might have in the morning.
Coffee.
Yeah, milk and coffee. Well done.
And they're separate items.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So they must have had like just...
milk and coffee separately.
Yeah. But like when was the last time you walked into a McDonald's and ordered a milk?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Or anywhere that you
Straight
ordered
up.
A milk.
Hmm.
Other than buying a Big M at the servo.
Well, there was that that country dance I was at that time when me and my mate walked in and we said, 2 long... cold glasses of milk, and we drank those glasses of milk, and all the other boys, they were drinking their beers, and they crashed out early, but me and my mate, we danced all night long, and we had our pick of the ladies.
And pick of the cows.
No. No, Dave. So sorry, Jess.
I hope that is a true story.
I hope you had a good time at that party.
Yeah, it was great.
Matt, yeah.
I remember it like that's a true story.
All right. So when they had their 9 items, right, I'm just going to move on. Their 9 items, their staple item on their menu was the 15-cent hamburger. 15 cents.
That
for
is
a hamburger.
Great.
What's Matt doing now? Maths or having a stroke? I can never tell.
Oh, yeah, because that sounds like really good value.
Well, it was in 1948, so, you know, probably a little more expensive now. But still, 15 cents, pretty cheap.
Sounds great.
Yep, sounds pretty good. So then the next year, 1949, they replaced the potato chips with French fries. And thick shakes also made their debut.
Ooh.
La-dee-da. So this is where it starts to get a bit more interesting, because in 1954, a multi-mixer salesman, so like a mix master, his name was Ray Kroc.
Sorry, a mix master?
It's a brand. It's like
mix a... Mix master Mike.
I was going to say, I thought you were referring to the DJ from the Beastie Boys. No. Mix master Mike.
No, some sort of food preparing mixing device.
And he just, is he a traveling
sales
salesman?
Rep, yeah.
I just imagine that he's got a big mixer taped to his back.
Probably does. That's probably how he gets around. His name was Ray Kroc. That's a great name.
Great name.
Great name. He visited the McDonald's brothers, intending to sell them more mixers. But while he's having a chat to them, he learns that the brothers are looking for a nationwide franchising agent. And he had an epiphany and is now determined that his future is in hamburgers. He's like, this is where the future's heading. This is where Ray Kroc is going to make it.
So he goes home to his wife one night and he's like, look, I'm not going to be a mix master anymore. And she's just like, oh, no.
No, not again, Ray.
Oh, no, and now you're into bloody hamburgers. First it was mix masters, now it's hamburgers.
What came before mix masters, you reckon?
For
probably
Ray?
He probably had a regular steady job, like a teacher or something.
Oh, no, and he quit.
He threw it
he
in for mix master.
Dream of mix master.
Well, it worked for him because that's how he met the McDonald's brothers. And the very next year, he opened his first McDonald's in Illinois. And that's sort of where they start, like the present corporation of McDonald's dates its founding to the opening of this store.
In Illinois?
Yeah, because it was only the ninth McDonald's restaurant overall. So the brothers had opened eight by themselves, which is like a really impressive effort for two guys running a business.
Oh, so there were already eight?
Yeah, already eight.
In the same city?
No, I think they were sort of spread out.
Okay, yeah.
But not really widely spread, but they were sort of spread. So he opens one in Illinois. And then he later, I'm not exactly sure when, but he later purchased the McDonald Brothers equity in the company. And he was the one who led it to the worldwide expansion. So I'm not sure if they got much money from their own company. I'm sure they did. They must have.
What? So Kroc, is that where they're saying what a Kroc comes from?
Must have been.
Yes.
Must have been.
Ray Kroc.
Yeah. So he kind of like, he compelled them to get out. He was apparently...
More like Crook. Thank you. Ray?
Very good.
He just got smashed.
You just got Warnakeyed.
He better crocodile the cops.
What did you write
cops,
down?
Because...
I just wrote down...
Crocodile the cops, yeah. What did you write?
I just wrote down Ray Kroc and underlined it like I'm a legend.
Nice.
Like I'm some sort of thing.
Nice.
But he spelt Ray Kroc like Ray Kroc.
Yeah, right. I misspelt it.
Great.
I actually just wrote his real name.
I feel like Ray won that one.
Yeah. He just beat
I'll
you.
Be back, Ray.
Oh, we'll get him.
Beyond
there's the more about
first
Ray.
First you sold me that dodgy mix master. Now this.
So apparently, yeah, he was quite an aggressive, savvy businessman. So he compelled the brothers to leave the fast food industry.
Hold on. So he's like, hey, I think that this is going to fail. I'm going to keep going, but mm-hmm. I want you to leave me the business. I'll go under. I'll take it down.
I doubt that's quite how it went.
She said he compelled them, like, I compel you.
The power of Kroc compels you. And then it's like,
power of Kroc. And they bailed. Yeah, so he opened his first one. So, and this is also where this particular store had the golden arches, but it was different to what it is now. It was like, so like imagine like a rectangle or square store, and there was like an archway on either end. And from a particular angle, if you viewed it from a particular angle, it would make an M.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, it just looked like two sort of like semicircles.
And do you think that that's a coincidence or a design?
It was designed by Stanley Meston in 1953, so a couple of years earlier. He designed it that way. Isn't that pretty cool?
That's one of those things that if you're an architect, you probably think it's cool, but deep down, you know, no one's ever going to notice.
Yeah.
But this one actually took
off. They actually
off.
Noticed, and that's kind of cool.
And now we all know the golden arches.
He designed the golden arches in a way. So he opens his first McDonald's in Illinois, and the sales on that first day was $366.12.
Wow. Well, 15 cents goes into that a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, that's true, yeah. And, I mean, they've still had... those nine items. I'm sure they had more by this stage. This was like 10 years. This is a while later.
Goes
well,
into it about
thick shakes were there now, I believe. And
yep,
also
shakes, yep. And
French fries.
Actual French fries. That's right. And this is where things start to go really quick. So like, okay, he's opened there's nine stores as of 1955. By 1958, they celebrated selling their 100 millionth burger.
What?
100 million burgers.
In like three years yeah. later.
And then by 1959, they celebrated opening their 100th restaurant. So they went from 9 in 1955 to 100 in 1959.
That is amazing. And also the fact that they celebrated 100 million burgers before their 100th restaurant, which yeah. means that each store sold more on average than a million hamburgers.
Yeah. Is that not ridiculous? Like, it doesn't make sense.
It seems like a lot. Even at 15 cents, someone's getting rich. And I bet it's that bloody Croc.
I reckon it's Croc. Croc's making a lot of money.
A real crock of money.
A real lot of money. This is an interesting one. So in 1961, Hamburger University opens. Yep, let's move on from that. No, we shall not move on from that. Hamburger University.
Sorry, have you just looked up Hamburger University in Germany?
No. Hamburger. Hamburger University.
What's that?
It is a school in Illinois that, and actually there's several of them now. It was started in 1961. I'll read you a bit of information about it. So since its inception, training at Hamburger University has emphasized consistent restaurant operation procedures, service, quality, and cleanliness. It has become the company's global center of excellence for McDonald's operation, training, and leadership development. You can go to Hamburger University and you leave with a bachelor in hamburgerology.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. That's a real thing.
That is so...
Isn't that incredible?
How long does a standard three-year course?
No, I don't think it's that long.
3.5 hours.
Here's your bachelor, sir.
Oh, I can't actually remember it. I think it did flipping. Say somewhere there.
Well, yeah, we're going to learn flipping. What else?
Grilling.
How to turn on the microwave.
Turn on the microwave, yeah.
Turn off the microwave at the end of the shift.
Yeah, you got to do that. Got to do that.
Turn the lights off as you leave and lock up.
Lock up.
It's pretty complicated.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky.
You got to figure out how to take the 15 cents and put it somewhere safe.
Probably in a safe.
Yeah.
That's probably where you'd put it.
Hey, but, I like it.
I've
like
worked
it
in retail for 10 years, so I know about
that. I knew none of this, so I feel like I'm learning, like I'm at the actual Hamburger University.
Well, even Hamburger University has really expanded because their first class was 15 students, and they graduated in Feb of 1961. Today, graduated. Today, more than 7,500 students attend Hamburger University each year.
So are they...
Are they McDonald's employees?
They're McDonald's employees.
Right.
And how do you get picked?
Well, I think there's sort of a process within the McDonald's itself.
Like a scholarship is awarded.
No, I guess in a way, like there's some in-store training and then you kind of go off to university.
So everyone who
not
works...
everyone, no, but I think it's like career progression-wise.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty great. In 1983, McDonald's invested $40 million into Hamburger University, which is pretty amazing. It's an 80-acre campus. Illinois.
That's massive.
13 teaching rooms, 300-seat auditorium, 12 interactive education team rooms, 3 kitchen labs, and a state-of-the-art service training lab. And today there are 7...
Does that just mean like a set that looks like a McDonald's? Is that all that is?
Oh, man, I hope like so. Like a fake store. McDonald's. Yeah. So good.
Step into the interactive training center. You mean the McDonald's? Yes.
There's one in Sydney. We have one here.
A Hamburger University.
We had a Hamburger University here.
Of course, Sydney would have it.
Yep. Fuck. Munich, London, Tokyo, Shanghai. They're all over the place.
Not putting one in Hamburg was a definite oversight.
Yeah, agreed.
A couple of that Munich got it.
Agreed. Very disappointing.
I also like to just imagine the people that work. It's bad enough that you go there for the 3.5 hour course, whatever it is. But if you are a professional hamburgerologist teacher.
There's intensive classes. I don't think it's a one-day thing. I think it's an ongoing program.
Could not think of a way to waste your time on this earth more than being a teacher at Hamburger University.
Right? So are we on board now with the theme of McDonald's? Because I'm...
Yeah, that's something I didn't expect to hear about.
Mm.
I think a lot of the listeners are going to be with me on this. When are you going to get to the mascots?
Oh,
I want to hear about Grimace's story.
We're getting there very soon, my friend. Okay, very soon. Really, but I've got to go in chronological order. I'm doing a timeline here.
Okay, great.
Hey, that's totally fine.
Okay, so we're up to 1961, Hamburger University opens. 1962, first store to have indoor seating was in Denver in Colorado. So before that, it was just drive-ins. So you just sit in your
car. And they thought that they'd set up a university before a restaurant.
Yeah, I know. And then, okay. 1963, I just pressed the wrong button. 1963, 500th store opens. So they went from 100 in 58 to 63, 500 stores.
So that's 100 a year is opening.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Is that not ridiculous? Like, they're just opening so fast. Okay, 1966, Matt, first television commercial, first appearance of Ronald McDonald.
Ooh,
so Ron, he's the original.
66. That's hard to say.
Do you find him scary, Matt?
It's a clown. Just like old school clown. Yeah, I think everyone finds him.
He was a raging success. People just loved him straight away. Well, I find him creepy still.
Yeah.
What creeps me out is those benches where he's permanently sitting there. Yeah.
And I'm always scared he'll move.
He looks like he'd grope you.
He would. Oh, he's got his arm out. He probably would. Ugh.
No doubt about it in my mind.
No. We've already profiled him.
Don't drop your guard.
1967, first international chains open. Where do you reckon they would have opened overseas?
Canada.
Correct. And?
Mexico.
Puerto Rico.
Well, that is an American territory.
Hmm.
There you go.
Good work.
Good work, Dave.
Possibly why
Captain Kildroy.
Oh, sorry, guys. Puerto Rico is still exotic. It's just that it's technically not a country. All there you go.
Technically not a country.
I didn't know that. Puerto Rico is not a country.
1968, Big Mac is introduced. Now, this is what's kind of interesting, and this happens quite a bit through their history. So it was actually created by an owner-operator of a franchise in Pittsburgh. His name was Jim Deligatti.
So he was going wild. He was going rogue.
He was just like, he was making something of his business, and he was like, well, let's do something a bit different. Let's have a Big Mac. It was being successful, so they roll out across the national menu.
So I reckon that he probably got called into the office by Kroc to explain himself for going against the nine menu key items. And then he explained that I've sold 10,000 of these last week. And Kroc was like, I'm not a Kroc idiot here.
Yeah.
We own these.
Just to make it clear with you, we own Big Macs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was kind of thinking, because I've watched a lot of Undercover Boss, and I really like it when
Undercover Kroc.
I really like it when the bosses see something that the staff members have done and take an initiative, and then they like support them with that. But you're right, it's probably more just like, well, if you're making money off it, then we can all make money off it. Yeah. I'm going to make more money off it.
Yeah, and I bet you he didn't buy the idea off him.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, I highly doubt it. And then the same year, so 1968, the hot apple pie was developed as well, and it was also created by a franchisee in Knoxville whose name was Lytton Cochran, and that's added to the national menu as well.
I was reading about, what's that big donut franchise from America? Krispy Kreme,
yeah.
And there was someone had run out of the ingredients that they get delivered, and it's like secret ingredients sort of stuff. Like the herbs and spices and the secret sauce at McDonald's.
Sure.
So they just made up some of their own, and they got sued by the company.
What?
Because they just like, oh, we've run out of stuff. We're going to improvise some. And it's like...
I got sued.
Yeah. Yeah, they fucked them up.
Great.
Because I was going to say that you couldn't do that anymore, could you, at it?
Yeah, no, it just wouldn't
matter. The local Brunswick McDonald's.
It's like, yeah, your contract says... You have to sell these specific things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's much more tight now, but this is back in the 60s.
No, actually, these days you have that design your own burger thing. True. So if you design a burger, do they technically own it if it is awesome? Like if you're some sort of chef.
But like how would other people order it, you know?
I don't know, but maybe...
You're the only one who knows it's awesome because you're the one who eats it.
Somehow the manager... Because they've got to make it sort of backstage, if you will.
In a kitchen. You're such a...
I heard these words.
I'm a performer.
He's a showman.
He's a showman. I don't know what
I've been in show business my whole life. And then
I don't know what you hospitality people call your backstage area. The green room, is it? I don't know.
Literally never had a real job. Anyway, so backstage, they're making it. Joking, they're like, oh, this looks good. Guacamole and chicken. No one's ever thought of that before. Copyright. Like, is that technically a thing? Because I know that if you work for Apple in the Apple store, you can't design apps. They own, while you work for them, even if you don't design apps, if you just work in the Apple shop as one of those genius people, you sign a contract saying that because you work for Apple, if you design an app, they own the app.
Huh.
That's kind of fucked.
Is that crazy? So, like, if you design something amazing at McDonald's, I don't know. Does Kroc own it? Who knows?
Well, I mean, we should ask, Lytton Cochran and Jim Deligatti because they'd know, but they're probably long dead,
Dave. They're probably dead.
Any other great ideas, Dave? Yeah,
too many Big Macs.
Oh, here's another great thing from 1968. This is so good. It ties into a previous theme that we've talked about as well. So, in 1968, McDonald's airlifted hamburgers to the American athletes competing in the 68 Olympics in France.
They airlifted
them. They airlifted them. They were homesick. Oh, I miss home. So, hey, we'll bring you some hamburgers.
You have a shitty cold hamburger.
I know. How would they even bring it to them?
That's good. Airlifting, of course.
Athletes. Reminds me of how Shane Warne used to get baked beans
shipped in.
Oh, gross.
But once again, I don't think our athletes these days anyway would be allowed to have McDonald's.
No. Yeah, well, that's what all I was thinking
in
as well.
In the village.
Their diets are so closely managed by nutritionists, as if they'd be allowed to have
a hamburger. But if you look at the records, I reckon that was probably the best ever Olympics in terms of medal per athlete ratio.
Probably. All right, Dave, you're the one who's great at maths. 1963, we had 500 stores, right?
Yes.
Now, 1968, 1,000 stores.
Doubled. Another, still going 100 per year.
He's good maths. He is good at maths.
So, guys.
Is that not ridiculous?
It's crazy.
That's a lot of...
So 1,000 in the 60s.
1,000. We've got 1,000 stores now. Since 1955, it's now 1969. 1,000 years. 1,000 years.
1,000 years. Wow.
1,000 stores.
That's right. The McDonald's Reich has risen. 1,000-year Reich of McDonald's.
Oh, it's really hard with lots of numbers. All right, Matt, here we go. Here we go, Matty.
I'm the maths guy. What's Matt?
I'm the mascot guy.
There he is, 1971. New mascot.
Mascots, that's what we're all about here.
Here they are. There's Grimace.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Hamburglar.
Yep.
There's Birdie, but she probably came later.
Came later.
They needed to appeal to women, is that it?
Grimace. He said Grimace. I think there are some Ronald's American already, ones that we didn't know because there's one that's Mayor McCheese.
Oh, yeah, I remember Mayor McCheese.
I don't,
childhood.
But I love it. Please tell me
he's
about it.
He wears a top hat and he's just like his head is a hamburger. So he's got like cheese coming
out. Oh, is that Mayor McCheese?
Yeah.
Oh, I did remember the ham. Captain Crook. I wonder if he's named
Captain
after Croc.
Croc.
I thought you were all thinking he's named after Captain James Cook.
Probably not.
I would have thought Captain Hook.
Probably not.
Captain.
So was he a sidekick to the Hamburglar?
Maybe, but there's also one called Big Mac.
Oh yeah, he was another hamburger head.
Oh, they're not very. Yeah, they just give them all hamburger heads.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's when they all joined Ronald because he was obviously lonely. It's all by himself. So now he's got mates. That's good.
A weird and wonderful world
that we live in. I know. 1971 was also a big year because that was when Australia got our first McDonald's.
1971.
Any idea where it was?
Sydney. Is it bloody Sydney?
It was Sydney, but it was in like a suburb in Sydney.
Newtown. No, that wouldn't be it. It would be in...
Leederville.
Doodongatta. No, that's... I don't know what that is.
Ogdenville.
Put them on the map.
North Haverbrook.
Would we have heard
Yaguna.
Of this place? Yaguna. They've got a lot of weird names.
Yaguna.
We sound like three of the most Melbourne people right now.
Yaguna. I think I was going to say they do have weird suburbs, but we definitely
we have
like Moorabbin and...
Yeah, if you don't...
If you think about any word too long, it becomes very strange.
That's very true.
McDonald's.
They're great. I think a lot of them go back to like their indigenous words.
Yeah, which is good.
Some cracking ones.
Woolamaloo's
and often they mean meeting place.
Hmm. There we go. Don't you're nodding dramatically on a podcast.
Well, Matt,
stop doing it.
People write you off as the mascot guy, but you're also the meeting place guy.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that about you. So Yaguna gets the first one in the 71.
71 in Sydney. They get their first. 73, Quarter Pounder is added to the menu. Welcome aboard, Quarter Pounder. It's not that exciting.
And is that invented by some sort of store rogue?
Doesn't say if it's invented by anybody in particular, whether they're doing, head office kind of inventions now. Who knows?
And that is like, that is a burger that weighs a quarter pounder?
Yeah, I think the meat is a quarter pound of flesh.
They do half pounds or full pounders?
No.
Well,
is a quarter pounder, is that big? Is that bigger than a Big Mac?
No.
Yeah, why is that the only one where they talk about the size of the meat?
I don't know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, though, isn't it?
It is something to think about. It
really makes you think about meat.
74, the
meeting
first...
Meeting places.
Quarter pounder, that's what it means.
In 1974, the first Ronald McDonald House opens in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because there's lots of those as well. I don't know how many there are, actually. That would have been something good to get a number on. But lots. All around, there's Ronald McDonald houses. 1974.
That's for a tax write-off, I think.
Oh, big time. Yeah. 1975, the Egg McMuffin was added. Now, that one was the brainchild of a guy called Herb Peterson, who was an owner-operator in Santa Barbara.
Writing that down, because I like that a lot. What year is this? Herb Peterson.
75, and he created the Egg McMuffin.
It's strange that you have so many public holidays, but none that recognise the great work of Herb Peterson. 1974. 40 years. We could have celebrated that this year. 40 years of Egg and Bacon McMuffins.
They probably did.
Is that the first one that started the craze of putting milk at the start of their products?
Probably.
Have we invented Big Mac yet?
Yeah, Big Mac was around. Big Mac was there, a bit earlier.
But the McFlurry, McChicken.
Big Mac was in 68.
McFish.
Yeah, they all sort of come later. And do you know what's really funny too? I want to talk about some of their funny lawsuits later.
Fillet
and
of McFish.
They're like all to do with Mc. Pretty much. It's ridiculous.
Oh, people are just trying to be like, yeah, buy your McNikes or something like that.
Yeah.
It would have been more like existing brands were already around Mc something. They're like, that we own Mc.
No, you're fucked. Get out.
Yeah,
but I am. My name's Mick
McDonald, and I've been making McDonald's sheep farming since 1807.
That's literally it.
Sorry, mate.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, sorry, mate. It's quite ridiculous. 1975 as well was the first drive-through.
Oh, I love 1975.
That was in Arizona. But do you know why they invented the drive-through?
Oh, if it's in Arizona, is it too hot to get out of the car?
No. But there was an army fort just down the road.
They weren't allowed to go in their uniform or something.
Correct. They weren't allowed to get out of their cars in their army fatigues.
That's great.
That was part of the fort wouldn't let them. They weren't allowed. So McDonald's solved the problem by installing the first drive-thru. Like, don't worry about it, lads. Just drive on up to the window. Isn't that ridiculous? And now drive-thrus are everywhere. And every single fast food chain has drive-thrus.
So they also have like a helicopter landing pad.
Not
the Air Force. The Air Force are getting jibbed. The Navy are pretty pissed. Yeah.
What I like about the drive-thru is because you're normally feeling a shame
to
go there. So a drive-thru cuts that out. And also, people who go to these places are gross. I'm put off my food if I see people inside a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to eat it anymore. Mm-hmm. So the only time I would ever eat McDonald's.
Your fellow customer.
Yeah. People like me. The only reason. I mean, I don't really eat it at all. But if I was going to. It would be in a drive-thru under the cover of darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the gross losers eating McDonald's. Because I would seriously lose my appetite watching those fucking disgusting slobs. Anyway, yeah.
Wow. That's why I think drive-thrus. This is the side of that I've never seen before.
No, I like it though.
That's why drive-thrus are, they're pretty
good. Because I often wish there was a drive-thru like 7-Eleven, but I'm also very glad that there isn't such a thing. Because sometimes I just really want like a Mars bar. But I can't be bothered getting out of the car for it, so I just drive home. I just keep going.
That's good, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank God.
It stops you.
Because if there was one, I would spend so much money on just shit. Just junk.
It is a great business idea.
It's a great idea, but I hope they never do it. If 7-Eleven are listening, and I'm sure they are, please, for the love of God, don't do it.
It would be a great business opportunity if you don't do
millions,
it.
But don't. Seriously, don't.
What have you guys have seen in Fitzroy on Nicholson Street, there's a drive-through pizza shop, which doesn't make sense to me because you drive in, you have to wait 10 minutes, like in the car while they get the garlic bread hot enough.
Hmm.
Seems very strange.
Is it one of those made-to-order pizza shops, or would it be like they've just got pizzas
like
ready to go and you buy slices?
Oh, maybe that's the business model.
I love slices. That's the best when you can go and just buy a slice.
Yeah, that's great. So good. Pizza's my favourite food.
Well, remember that.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a pizza and pasta guy.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a pasta and pizza guy. No, actually, I like pizza. Pasta, I'm ambivalent.
Okay.
I won't take it. I might leave it.
Fair enough. Hey.
Don't pressure me.
Yeah. You're a modern man. You can make your own decisions.
I wonder if they do McPasta in Italy.
I didn't see it when I was in Italy, but I was going to talk as well about some of the international dishes.
Oh, we can get to that. I'm excited to talk about it, my experience with that.
We're getting towards the end of the interesting stuff on the timeline too. So, okay, 1978 now, the 5,000th restaurant opens.
All right, let's do a quick recap of how far it spread. So it was the last count was 1,000.
The last count was 1,000, and that was in 68. Now we're in 78, so 10 years, there's 5,000.
5,000. So now we're operating at an extra 500 a year.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Which is more than one a day.
And this 5,000 stores opened in Japan. So they're spreading a lot through different countries now.
About 10 a week.
10 a week?
Is it?
A bit less than, but yes, very good, man.
Well, that's about 10 a week.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Because you know what? Because like some weeks it would be maybe 11, and then the next week they might only do 8.
It's a new maths boy in town.
Yeah, all right. Look at my little maths boys.
I love mascots too.
Did you say mascots?
Yep. Yes, I did.
Sorry to tread on that again. I just wasn't sure if you were.
No, thanks. No, good for picking me up on it. I appreciate it. Appreciate it a lot.
1979, Happy Meals make their debut.
Now that is a license to print money.
Right. 1980, so this is only 2 years after 5,000 stores. 1980, 6,000th restaurant opens, so in Munich in Germany.
So still operating at 500 a year.
500 a year.
And now they're in...
About 10 a week.
Yep.
Still correct. Still correct. Still about.
Yeah, but the about is a really important distinction that you make, so that's great.
Wow, so that seems like... So
2 weeks holiday.
By this time, it must be a craze. Like people around the world are waiting for their Maccas to arrive in Europe. Like people must know about it.
It's amazing.
Apparently they don't call it Maccas overseas.
They do not. We are...
Well, yeah, that's why the McDonald's Australia is at Maccas. That's why they can get that.
Oh, cool.
Because I don't think anyone else knows what you're talking
about. And a lot of stores have changed their signage now. They actually say Maccas.
If you are overseas, we call it Maccas, okay?
Yeah. I don't know why. We shorten everything. I don't know why. Sorry, but not sorry. 1983, McNuggets are introduced.
Mm.
So they're fairly young, the McNuggets.
That's why they're so little.
They're growing. Can you imagine how small they were?
Every now and then you just give it way too much.
I was about to say, look, that was quite funny. But not like... Matt and I just awkwardly looking at each other.
When he
now.
Said mascot before, nothing.
I know.
Mine was better. I agree with Jess.
Sorry, you just took me by surprise, and you know I'll love to have a good laugh.
You're very strange in that. You like to laugh. It's very strange.
Put that in my tombstone.
It's off-putting.
Yeah.
I find it off-putting.
One of my friends called me a laugh slut. Said I'll just laugh at anything.
Not true.
Not true.
Not mascot.
Yeah, exactly. You won't laugh at anything.
Wasn't that funny?
Neither of you fucking laughed at mascot.
Yeah, well, make a joke about it. Nuggets being little.
Fuck. All right, I'll try and get one back.
All right, moving on. So in 1984, Ray Kroc passed away.
Sucked in.
You got crocked.
1984. So by this, is he still involved until that?
Yeah.
So he's like a billionaire by then.
Must be. So he was, at this stage, his title was founder and senior chairman of the board of McDonald's. That's a pretty great name.
Wow.
Board of McDonald's.
But
then he
used to be just a mixmaster.
I know, he was
now
just
he's
a
salesman, founder
traveling
and chairman.
Salesman, and now he's a senior chairman. It's crazy.
That his wife feels silly.
Yeah, bloody doubt me, Barbara.
Don't ever doubt me. Then the next year, so 1985, that first store that he opened in Illinois, I think it had previously been like changed over. It wasn't a McDonald's anymore, but they restored it to its original form and they reopened it as the McDonald's Store Museum. So there's a museum out there for anybody who wants to have a look at that.
Wow.
I mean, it's weird enough that we're talking about it, but to go to a physical building and learn these pointless facts that you're telling us about today.
Well,
I don't get it.
We do a lot of research behind
the
scenes.
Dumb enough that we're even talking about it.
Yeah.
We do a lot of research behind the scenes here, and what you won't know is that Jess has actually been to that museum to research this show.
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
I don't half-ass these things,
you
guys.
You're severely jet-lagged. That's how much...
I didn't research this in my pajamas today, okay?
No way.
I've been working on this.
All the way to Illinois. Saw the golden arches, tried to do that weird thing with your eyes where they match up to make an M or something like that.
I'm dedicated to this podcast, and the listeners should appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. I don't mean to get so threatening. I don't mean to take it down, but
hey,
I'll find you. No, I won't. Nope. All right.
I think someone gave us 2 stars on fucking iTunes.
Who gave us 2 stars? Are you serious? Did we get 2 stars?
Some anonymous person. What? We went to Illinois for you.
What a prick. Let's just focus on all the 5 stars we got.
That's right.
That are mostly me. In 1987, maybe. No, I did give us 5 stars, obviously, because I think this is a great podcast. I thoroughly enjoy listening to it.
That's right. Even
I'll accept your 5, but only if they're genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you really think this is a 5 out of 5 podcast?
Yeah, I do, because I treasure both of you.
Hey, she's not going to Illinois for no reason.
Yeah, I'll do the work.
All right, I'll accept it then.
Shall I move on? I shall.
Do go on, please.
1987, salads added to the menu. See, I would have thought that was much later, right?
Me too. I thought that was like a recent addition.
No.
Yeah, salads. The healthy choices.
Yeah, yeah, see, that's definitely more recent, like late 2000s. But maybe not late, but yeah, they did have salads in the late 80s. I don't think they were that popular. Or maybe there was only like 1 or 2 options.
Yeah, it's an option just to try and...
Yeah. But
We're trying.
It's all marketing, right? Yeah, it's just going. No, look, you don't have to feel bad for coming in. You know, still, if people see you walking in, you can just say, "We're getting a salad."
Getting a salad, but at the same time, don't fucking order the salad.
I don't know. It's
what are you doing?
No one ever has. They've been sitting there for so long.
Yeah, wow. The technically, it'll do more harm to your body than that Big Mac because it's 6 years old. Yeah.
They're just following the trends, right? Like those healthy choices came in when there was a real push for all these healthy, all the healthy reality TV shows and that sort of bullshit was coming out. And then there's like a kickback against that. Not a kickback. Push back against that.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then KFC comes out with that double chicken
thing. Oh, so gross.
And then there's a push back against that and they go healthy again. They're just playing us like chumps.
Chumps, treating us like fools.
I never knew, and I feel like an idiot.
Don't feel like an idiot.
Thanks.
You've been played, Dave.
I know. Here I was stuffing my face with a salad 1 week. The next I'm eating that chicken thing with the buns was made of chicken.
Oh, so gross. So 1978, we had the 5,000 restaurants, right? Now, 1988, another 10 years later, we're up to 10,000 restaurants.
Still 500 a year. Wow. Which is, Matt? Break it down.
How much is that?
How many is that a week?
Well, that works out to be about 10 a week, approximately.
Approximately. Yeah.
Still correct. He is still spot on.
Isn't that is fascinating that they can grow more than a restaurant a day for like 20 straight years.
It's ridiculous. It's amazing. It's terrifying. So then in 1990, the founder, Ray Kroc, again, he was named by Life magazine as one of the 100 most important Americans of the 20th century.
I was sure you were going to say he was exhumed, but that's probably better.
Yeah.
He was exhumed and his body was put on display in the museum.
Yeah, he was put on display in the science class at the Burger University.
At the Hamburgatorium.
Wouldn't it be great if they like expanded the university to not just McDonald's, but then they actually took on like medicine students?
Yeah, yeah.
But their degree still had like the Hamburglar on it and stuff.
Yeah, and
as
all
their
the
stamp of authenticity.
The cadavers were like just like they were all painted to look like Ronald McDonald, or Mayor McCheese or whatever.
Now, the rest of the timeline was kind of boring stuff, so I just decided to move on. Here's one thing that's pretty interesting. So this is kind of cool, actually. So to accommodate the current trend for high-quality coffee and the popularity of coffee shops and cafes and stuff like that, McDonald's introduced a McCafe, so like that cafe style that goes with the McDonald's restaurant itself, in the style of a Starbucks. Now, what you may not know is that McCafe is a concept created by McDonald's Australia, and actually started in Melbourne.
Oh,
wow. In 1993.
Have they been around that long, McCafe?
I think that's sort of a concept that started, and now, like, most in Australia will have a McCafe, but that's pretty exclusive to Australia.
So there's no McCafes overseas?
I think they're, like, starting to pop up, but nearly every single one in Australia has one. There's only a few that don't, and it would be, like, the ones in shopping centres and stuff like that that don't have them.
Are the coffees any good there?
No, but at least it's barista-made rather than just a button.
Why'd you ask the question?
Yeah,
I was curious.
It's fine.
And it's really interesting as well because...
Because I don't drink coffee, so I've got no idea.
It says most McDonald's in Australia have McCafes, and in Tassie... Every single McDonald's has a McCafe. and the rest of the states are following suit. And after upgrading...
So Tasmania is leading them at Cafe Charge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they probably have fewer stores, so therefore, like...
Yeah, they've got two stores.
And
they've
both
got two new cafes.
Yeah. But what's kind of interesting is that some Australian stores noticed up to a 60% increase when they upgraded to the McCafe style. Because we are such coffee snobs.
See, yeah, Matt, this is once again what you say. It's just a gimmick to get you in. And once you're in there, you get your McCafe, but you're also like, well... I'll get a Big Mac while I'm here.
Absolutely.
I'm not an idiot. Yeah. I'm not going to make two stops.
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? So that, I just thought that was kind of interesting that it started.
I had no idea.
It started in Australia.
Bloody love it.
Makes you proud.
brings a tear to my...
Aussie, go.
My nationalist eye.
International menus. Do you want to talk about that? So you've both travelled... Do you...
To Tasmania, and I was impressed with the amount of McCafes I saw.
Wow, there you go.
Actually, that's the one state I've never been to. There you go.
Have you been to McDonald's somewhere else in the world?
Yes, I went to one in Japan a couple of weeks ago, and they were serving minestrone soup.
Yes, I was going to say, quite a few of them, particularly in Asia, serve soup.
I didn't try it, but I was enjoying the novelty of that.
Yeah. Matt, have you been to... Because you're not big on McDonald's anyway, are you?
No, so I don't think I ever have. Because, for the most part, they don't do vegetarian stuff either.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever going to one on purpose. I remember hearing, a lot of the overseas stores have a license, which is kind of different.
A lot in Europe will sell beer. In New Zealand, McDonald's sells meat pies because the local affiliate partially relaunched the Georgie Pie fast food chain that it bought out in 1996. So Macca's had bought out a pie shop.
You can get a pie
and a meat pie.
Oh my God.
Well, Dave.
Why is this the
new bucket list?
If you haven't, listener, I am obsessed with, that's my food. I don't do it pasta, but I'll do a pie all the time.
You love pies.
Why is that the one state I haven't been to?
New Zealand.
I was thinking, Australia's, I thought you said Tasmania. State.
No, you're still thinking Tassie. This is New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand. Well, it's still not that far away. I'll go.
It's like a state. Yeah, do it. When I was travelling, I don't think I even tried anything too fancy.
When I was travelling, I no longer travel.
When I travelled in my youth, So sometimes the deviations from the standard menu, it's sometimes it'll be because it'll abide by a regional food taboo, such as
India.
Exactly.
You can't have beef,
they don't have beef.
So I think you can get a good veggie burger and an Indian one, Matt, if you're interested.
You can get the McRice in Indonesia.
What's that?
It's McRice. Maybe it's fried rice.
Is this thing true? I think I read this recently that Coke is the big. You haven't. Is there anything about Coke on here? Because I reckon that's a big part of their successes that they locked in.
They teamed out with the biggest.
Yeah, with the biggest
company. Yeah.
Whereas the others like KFC's Pepsi stuff.
Pepsi Max. Yeah.
They jumped on the loser, but apparently
PepsiCo was pretty massive. Yeah.
Well, you know. They were in the... Yeah, they overtook them in the 80s or something. But Coke, apparently, they've got a secret ingredient as well, like all these bullshit things do. And in India, I think, there's a local law that you have to... You can't have any secret ingredients. So instead of telling the Indian government what the secret ingredient was, they pulled out of India.
What?
Is that true?
That's the truth.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's the truth.
I didn't know that.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
I'll check that before you edit this and let you know whether or not to edit it out. Same with that Krispy Kreme thing. I'm doubting that now.
No, never doubt yourself. It's okay.
Killer fact.
I've got a few more. There's a few more fun facts. And like I mentioned before, I wanted to talk about a couple of lawsuits that happened. But obviously, you can't really talk about McDonald's without talking about the 2004 film Super Size Me.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's not a movie. It's a documentary.
What's his name? Evan?
Morgan.
Morgan Freeburn.
Spurlock.
No, that's someone else. Who's Morgan Freeburn? That's Morgan...
Lawrence Fishburne and Morgan Freeman in one.
Morgan Freeman, that's what I was saying.
No, this is Morgan Spurlock, who's a documentary maker. He ate at McDonald's restaurants three times a day for a month. Right, it was part of his... And he would supersize, but only if offered. So
he has to say yes, is that the rule?
Yeah, if he's offered supersize, he has to say yes, otherwise he can just have a standard size meal. He consumed 5,000 calories.
I never know. Is that a lot?
Well, an intake of around 2,500 within a healthy balanced diet is more generally recommended for a man of his size. So it's twice what he would be recommended for him. Okay, and he, as a result, he gained 11.1 kilos in a month, a 13% body mass increase, increased his cholesterol, and experienced mood swings, sexual dysfunction, and fat accumulation in his liver. Whoa. And it took him 14 months to lose the weight.
Wow.
After that, yeah. And
what,
after...
But what people don't know is that he was still eating McDonald's three times a day in the 14 months after, which...
Dude.
At first, they didn't tell him that that was the problem.
Yeah.
He just increased his exercise.
He wasn't noticing a correlation.
Also, after not long after they released the film, McDonald's got rid of the supersize option.
Oh, is that gone now?
It's gone.
I hate that that guy took that away from me.
As if you weigh 52 kilos.
Exactly. I should be allowed to have any size meal I want.
But as if you could get through it.
I should be encouraged. They should say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't have a small meal. You'll have the supersize.
I'd pay a lot of money to watch you eat a supersize meal. I probably wouldn't have to pay.
So what is supersize?
Buy it for you.
That's bigger than large.
Bigger than large.
Right. We never had that here.
I think I vaguely remember it very, very briefly.
I think it was. It's bigger than Jesus is the technical.
Yeah, that's the technical term. Yeah,
way to describe the meal.
You know, I love to finish on some fun facts. Maybe I'll save that fun fact for the end. I will talk about just a couple of
fun fact lawsuits.
There's a couple of lawsuits, and then there's one fun fact that I just think is a little bit ridiculous, and also kind of ties in with past episodes. I love when this happens. So there's kind of an interesting one. So you remember how McDonald's have always done the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Yeah, that seems to happen.
It happens pretty much every year.
Several times a year.
Yeah,
now.
It happens quite a bit. So
I always get. I start doing it and then I lose them.
Oh, yeah, no, I never remember. So there was this subcontracting company called Simon Marketing, which had been hired by McDonald's to organise and promote the game. So that was kind of their job. Now, they failed to recognise a flaw in its procedures.
Oh,
so the chief of security, whose name was Jerome P. Jacobson, he was able to remove the most expensive game pieces, which he then passed on to mates.
So he's a chief of security where?
Of the company
of Simon
Marketing.
Oh, right. So this is... Oh, sorry.
He's not for McDonald's. He's for like their subcontracting company.
So you meant they were like, we've stuffed up. And they sent the security guard into every McDonald's to try and get all the cups back. So
no.
Get the blue properties.
He was taking the most expensive game pieces, giving them to his associates or his friends, who would then redeem them and share the proceeds. So he's pocketing all the big bucks.
What was the thing that they missed that they could have stopped that?
I'm not really sure. It just sort of says that like they...
They're a bit see-through or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm fairly sure the way they control it is, say, for example, you want Mayfair and Park Lane and you get the holiday... So they print 10,000 Mayfairs, but only two Park Lanes are in existence.
Yeah, yeah, it's something
so
like that.
So that's how they control it. So there's only two possible winners, but it sounds like
a lot
they may...
people who feel like they're halfway there.
Yeah, so but they, it sounds like they may, or you know, two out of
may
three
too
of them.
Many, or
but
yeah.
It sounds like they may have stuffed up and printed 10,000 of each.
And they did this for a long time. So between 1995 and 2000, they won almost all of the top prizes.
So they did it 5 years in a row and no one noticed at first.
Well, yeah, because he was probably using like quite a few different people. It wasn't just one person constantly winning.
Jesus, guy's lucky.
Yeah, then they'd obviously twig a bit
earlier.
Well,
this security guard has really moved into a bigger house every year for the last 5 years.
It's pretty bad.
I guess his partner must be working very hard.
He's moved into a bigger house 10 times a week.
Roughly.
Approximately.
They scored $24 million. In prize money. And so then they finally realised, they figured it out, they get back to this guy and they arrested him. But then what's kind of weird as well is that in 1995, St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, received an anonymous letter postmarked Dallas containing a $1 million winning game piece. So somebody had like anonymously sent $1 million basically to this children's hospital. Now, the game rules prohibited the transfer of prizes, but McDonald's waived that rule.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God, because they'd be the worst people ever. And they were giving a payment of $50,000 annually just until you got to $1 million.
Which is 20 years worth.
Mm-hmm. So they made that last payment towards the end of 2014. And investigations later indicated that Jacobson had admitted to sending the winning piece to the hospital, the guy who got in trouble.
Of course. But you'd claim that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Who's going to come out and say, no, it was me. Oh, shit, I'm guilty. Of course you'd say. So did he go to jail?
I believe he did, yes.
Well.
So, yeah, it's pretty great. It's pretty cool because all of these lawsuits as well, a lot of them just have to do with Mac or Mc at the start of things. Especially, so in one noteworthy case, McDonald's sued a Scottish cafe owner called McDonald, even though the business in question dated back over a century.
Wow. So do they win that kind of case?
They've won a few of them, and then there's been a couple that like the little guys won, and that's always cool. So there's, let me find some of these.
Buy it off me, you jerks.
Yeah, you jerks. So there was one called McCoffee, and in 1994, McDonald's successfully forced Elizabeth McCoffee, so she was in the San Francisco Bay Area, they forced her to change the trading name of her coffee shop, McCoffee.
To McCoffee.
And she'd had that for 17 years. She'd been running that little cafe, and she's like, it was just an adaptation of my name.
Oh.
McCoffee. So she's like C-A-U-G-H-E-Y. And they're like, nope. You got a muck in it. It's ours.
It's so weird that you're allowed to own like a common name.
But they shouldn't
name.
Be able to, but they can just afford the best lawyers.
Yeah, right. They just wait them
it's
out.
It's so ridiculous. So there was one called McMunchies.
Their hash browns are a little bit different.
This is run by a lady called Mary Blair. And she didn't sell burgers or chips. She just chose the name because she liked the word munchies and wanted the cafe to have a Scottish feel, which is why she had Mc in there. Ugh. And the thing is,
change it to Mac Munchies?
No, but even Mac they won't allow them to have.
You can't have Mac.
No, you can't. They've had a go at people for that as well. McDonald's said if someone uses the Mc prefix, even unintentionally, they were using something that does not belong to them. Isn't that ridiculous?
Wow, what a world we live in.
I know, but here's a cool one though. McDonald's filed a lawsuit against McDonald's Family Restaurant located in Grand Cayman, and the company McDonald's lost the case and in addition was banned from ever opening a McDonald's in that area. And that still stands today.
Like that.
They can't open one there.
Did you know, Dave, that Criss Cross were
Jump
lost,
Jump.
Yeah, they lost rights to their song Jump Jump because of the line Mickety 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 Mac Daddy. They lost the rights to the whole song.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I think you're joking, right?
I'm too far in now. I've got to just...
Commit.
Yeah, no, it's dead set.
That is definitely just... Wow. One of them died.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ronald.
Bleak.
Ronald did it.
Right, yeah, that's right. Exactly. Behind the scenes, who knows what happened?
I'm the Mickety 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 Mac Daddy. Well, that's what he said, standing over his body. I'm the Mickety 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 Mac.
I can't believe you just said that on this show. We're gonna
and he stomped
gonna watch
his
our
face.
Gotta watch our back.
It's
now.
Pretty terrifying. I've got just some facts and then one more fun fact. Okay.
So we have to sit through some shit facts.
Well, it's not really a shit fact. It's just interesting. It's just a summary, basically. So McDonald's is the world's largest chain of hamburger fast food restaurants, serving around 68 million customers daily. In 119 countries across more than 36,000 outlets.
Crazy.
And just one last fun fact. McDonald's and NASA explored an advertising agreement for a planned mission to the asteroid 449 Hamburger. It was an asteroid that's called Hamburger. And in the 80s and 90s, NASA considered a spacecraft mission to the asteroid, including a tie-in with McDonald's.
That's great, but they had to abandon
it. It was cancelled in, called for launch in 1995, but it was later cancelled. But how great is that? McDonald's could have gone to the moon.
Like, that is
not really.
That's going to happen one day, right?
It's got to. There has to be the first intergalactic McDonald's. It'll happen.
Oh, I'd love for someone to just get out and copyright Mac in outer space.
Oh, so you can't
so
do
they,
it on the moon.
Yeah, right? Like, sorry, boys, this is ours.
So it's already taken.
Yeah, you can call yourself Donald's up there, but...
Yeah, McCoffee. Mrs. McCoffee
got
here first.
She owns the moon. I'm sorry, mate. She's already claimed McMars as her own.
She's a smart lady. Mm-hmm. She's into business. So that's McDonald's.
Wow. Is this terrible that I feel like eating it now, even though we heard all the bad stuff as well?
I know. I didn't even go into, like, you know, people finding rats in their burgers, but, yeah. You know, there's horror stories. I just looked at it purely from a business point of view because you love maths, Matt loves mascots, I'm all about business.
Wow, that's what we're all about. That's what we're well known for.
Did you find anything about their ethics being questionable, apart from business ethics, which sound like they are a bit...
There have been quite a few disputes over pay. I did read quite a bit about that. Yeah, but I didn't, I, you know, I was just kind of, I was swept up in the magic of it all.
I suppose.
I did it today. I did this today. Everything, the whole time.
Every business that becomes that big, the scale becomes hard to manage and.
Absolutely.
Shit goes
even
down.
You set rats in burgers and stuff. Oh. I suppose if you're making 100 million burgers every day.
It's going to happen, isn't it?
It's got to happen.
36,000 outlets is going to be one rat, you know?
That's right. And his name? It's Ray Kroc.
Rat Kroc.
Rat Kroc. Rest in peace, Ray.
Nah, don't. How do we wrap up from here?
Well, that was I actually really enjoyed listening to that. And
you looked a little hesitant at the start when I said McDonald's. You kind of like, your brow furrowed. Furrowed?
Because you made him hungry and he was an hour and a half away from food.
Yeah, sorry, feeling. Mate.
Fairly hungry, but I'm going to go to get on a plane to New Zealand and get a pie at McDonald's. That's my plan for the evening. But thank you.
Are you seriously going to get on a plane? Are you going to New Zealand?
Yeah, tonight.
Are you really?
No, what are you talking about? We're about to get in the same car and drive to the same stand-up comedy night.
For a second,
we're all going to perform at the same place.
I forgot the pie reference, so I was like, is Dave going to New Zealand for Christmas? That's cool. I was like half listening. I'm sorry. No,
we definitely feel like we're all being on the same wavelength tonight.
We're pretty.
Really? Sure. You're going
really crisscross in New Zealand. So we'll probably just leave it there. Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you do enjoy the show and you think it's worth more than 2 stars, then maybe give us 3, 4, or 5, preferably the 5 end
just
of the scale.
Just go 5.
Just go for the 5.
It's an even number to say.
It's like it's the same with Uber. It's the same with podcasting.
Just go 5.
If you like it, it's 5. If you fucking hate it, then it's a 2. It's got to be the worst shit in the world to give it a 2. If you think it's okay, don't waste your time giving it anything. Like is 5. Fucking hate it is 2 or 1.
Or just don't. Otherwise, just don't review at all. And don't bitch to your friends. Just fuck off.
No, bitch to your friends.
Who's bitching to their friends? I just heard the worst podcast. Shut up. I don't care.
Yeah, turn it off.
Great.
I thought Dave was going to New Zealand.
Oh, wow. We've lost it. But you can get in contact with us.
We're still going.
I'm trying to wrap it up here. At Do Go On Pod. That's us on Twitter. But you can find us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jess. I'll be back next week with the report. I believe it is my turn. I will go on. But until then, we say adieu and good night if you are going
adieu.
To bed.
Go
adieu.
On.
Go on.
Oh, that's very good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Laters.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.